Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Thursdays means Lee Kelly is in studio with me today. And Lee, we always do a little high school baseball deal at the end of the show. And we had a good high school baseball game last night. We were in attendance. Unfortunately, we couldn't broadcast because of the Pacers-Cavs playoff game. But New Albany, Jeff, in baseball, it was a great game. It came down to the end, and it gets you excited that potentially – those teams can meet again in the conference tournament coming up here in a few weeks. And then, of course, the big show, the 4A sectional, which will be played at Jeffersonville at the end of this season.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun to follow these two. They're excellent ball clubs. They have quality pitching, although a lot of runs last night. But part of that can be attributed to as strong a wind as I think I've ever seen a baseball game played in. I've only been to Chicago for a couple of games, didn't have wind like that, but that's what I would compare it to from what I've heard people talk about. But it was a great game, had a lot of fun, came right down to the very last out, and had a lot of fun.
We'll talk about it a little bit later. We've also got a guest that will join us to talk about his high school baseball team, and just a little bit later we'll tell you about who that is as well. But why I'm on the topic of high school baseball, and we've had a chance to do New Albany, Floyd Central, and we've got Providence, New Albany. I'll have to look up and see our schedule for Monday, but we've got a broadcast at Providence. I know that Monday night as we kind of work through the rivalry games. But with that being said, Lee, it's hard for me to think of another kid, another player that's had a better start to the high school baseball season than Ryan Robinson of New Albany.
Yeah, outstanding player. Hits the ball well. Came in last night, got the save in that game, and just did a really nice job. I think that Providence game on Monday is with Jeffersonville.
Okay, so Jeff, maybe. Providence Monday. And let's take a look at the guest lineup presented by Honeybaked Ham in New Albany. Joining us here on this Thursday show, Lee and I have Alex Bozich coming up in segment two. Alex is the editor of Inside the Hall, and our chat each week with Alex is presented by CC Power Sports. We'll get into IU basketball. A lot of things in motion here now in the offseason as far as recruiting goes. None bigger than an April 30th decision that we talk about each and every day with Romeo Langford, which is coming up here very soon. So we'll catch up with Alex on a lot of things surrounding IU basketball and Coach Miller. And good to see the guys, the current roster, working out. Cliff Marshall has had the strength and conditioning coach, has had a lot of updates, different some cognitive skill type drills as well, where they use different colors and in the middle of exhaustion, I guess, as you are doing different aerobics or running type drills, you're also yelling out what color you see and things like that. So I guess there's a mental side to all this as well, but it's great to see that sort of thing too. And I tell you what, some big improvements in the offseason last year with the bodies and the physique of a lot of IU's basketball players. We were able to track that as media and you as fans on social media, believe it or not, and it will be interesting to see who takes the big leaps and improvements this year. That's one of the other big offseason things. IU's got some talent on the roster, some interesting combination of players coming back and some incoming recruits, and of course, if you add Romeo Langford to that mix, it could really make things this offseason interesting to talk about what the Hoosier basketball roster could look like next year. So we'll do some of that with Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports in segment number two. And then Lee and I will get back into some high school baseball discussion. We'll recap New Albany, Jeffersonville more from last night. We'll also be joined by Providence coach Scott Hornung today on the program The Pioneers have had a heck of a run the last couple seasons in high school baseball, I should say, and Coach Hornung will join us a little bit later in the program as we've been going across the area talking with all the high school baseball coaches as we begin the 2018 high school baseball season. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's presented by the Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Couple things to pass along. You know, we talked a lot, and there's been a ton of interest about the Indiana-Kentucky All-Star Series this year, with New Albany having Jim Shannon as the head coach, Romeo Langford and Sean East both on the boys' Indiana team. And we knew that the game at Bellarmine, and tickets are going to go on sale here very soon for that, but we knew the game at Bellarmine would be a tough ticket to get. Bellarmine only seats about 2,100 people. Obviously, the game at Bankers Life, Jim Shannon telling us last week that New Albany going to offer some special tickets for New Albany fans. Details on those will be available, I think, soon. But the question was, where would the junior-senior game be? Would it be local? Would it be in Southern Indiana? And would it be an opportunity close by for fans to get out and see Romeo Langford play once again? And actually, the All-Stars announcing yesterday that that junior-senior exhibition game, boys game at 6 o'clock, excuse me, girls game at 6 o'clock, boys game to follow that game around 8, it's going to be at New Albany. So Romeo and Sean will actually be suiting up again on the floor of the doghouse. That game will take place on Wednesday, June 6th. And then, of course, the game is at Bellarmine on Friday, June 8th, and the game back at Bankers Life in Indianapolis on Saturday, June 9th. So New Albany fans, area fans, I expect it to be a madhouse because you're going to get not just to see Romeo Langford again and Sean East again, but some IU guys and Robert Fennessy and Demise Anderson and some other top players in the 2018 class. They're going to come back to New Albany one more time and play, which is going to be a pretty special night, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Not a big fan of All-Star games, but that one's a little more realistic. Those kids take a lot of pride, and the juniors want to beat the senior All-Stars and vice versa.
It's happened.
And it does happen. Yeah. So I think they play with a little more intensity than that type of All-Star game than we see in some of the others. But looking forward to it.
So that's the big deal. Tickets, it looks like, are going to, for now, going to just be available at the door. That's the number one question I got yesterday when this came out is, well, can we buy tickets in advance? This isn't a Seymour regional opportunity. You're probably just going to have to get tickets at the door, and I'm sure that there will be a line. But so that's a neat storyline. We'll get a chance to see Romeo back at the doghouse one more time. Of course, the Bellarmine game, tickets for that game. I know there's been some confusion, people saying it's already sold out. That is not true. The tickets haven't even went on sale yet. Scott Chalk of the Kentucky side of things confirming that Monday, May 7th is when the tickets go on sale, and it will all be sold online at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. So if you want to get tickets to the game Friday, June 8th at Bellarmine, still plenty of tickets. You know, nothing's been sold yet. And again, once they do go on sale, they will go quick. But 2,100 tickets at Bellarmine is all they've got. Monday, May 7th is when they go on sale at KentuckyBasketballCoaches.org. We've been going through the final rankings for the 2018 class. And Lee, I've said this a couple times. You know, I always follow basketball in our area and in our state. And, of course, with this show, we try to stay on top of everything. But I feel like I know this 2018 class nationally a lot better than I've known other classes because of Romeo. You follow where Romeo's ranked, and, well, who could possibly be better than Romeo? You want to know and want to try to see those guys play, and you look them up online and see their impressive highlights as well. But it's been interesting to look at the final rankings as they come out now as that class has basically graduated. They are through their season. They are through the All-Star games, which is kind of the last evaluation of those guys, especially for guys like Romeo that are uncommitted. But the IU players in the 2018 class, obviously not counting Romeo in that at this time, getting some really good final marks by all of the national recruiting services and sites out there. 24/7 Sports, their rankings, the last to be out for the 2018 class. Jerome Hunter up at Pickerington North, 46 in the country. Demise Anderson from South Bend Riley, 92nd. Robert Fennessy at McCutcheon, 109th. Jake Forrester in Pennsylvania, 131st. Romeo, obviously still considering Indiana, Kansas, and Vanderbilt, number five in the 2018 class. So I think if you look across the board, everyone is in agreement on these IU signees in the 2018 class. And basically the same could be said for Romeo. I think he was six in one of the final rankings. He's been number five at all the other most legitimate rankings you'll find out there. But everybody in consensus, even with the IU guys, I think pretty much the order they're ranked and about where they're ranked is the same. And I really do think, and again, I'm not even including Romeo in any discussion right now, but I really do think that for Archie Miller, getting here when he got here, getting the job when he got the job, has been able to assemble a really, really solid recruiting class just with Hunter, Anderson, Finney, and Forrester. And again, you never know for sure who's going to contribute right away as a freshman or midseason as a freshman, but I think these are some talents that can help the Indiana program for years to come. Really like Hunter, Jerome Hunter from Ohio. I think Indiana fans are going to love him. He's probably the player that hasn't been talked about the most. Him and Forrester, obviously, because they're out of state. But he's got a body that's, I think, Big Ten ready and brings a lot to the table that maybe some of the other players don't. So really interested to see how he fits in the mix. But I do think now that we're kind of at finality with the 2018 class, at least from the national prognosticators and services out there, even though the 2018 class could change majorly for Indiana if Romeo Langford becomes into the fold for that class on April 30th, I think that aside, it's a really good class for Archie Miller that he's been able to assemble, and he's done exactly what he told us he would do when he stood up in Assembly Hall, that introductory press conference, over a year ago, and said we're going to recruit inside out. He's got some of the best players from the state of Indiana committed and signed, but he also wasn't afraid to go into Ohio, another hotbed for him, and go back to his home state of Pennsylvania, that Pittsburgh area, and get players there as well.
It's interesting to me, and I heard your shows this week. I don't follow it as closely. I listen to you. You keep me updated on who's being recruited and who's out there and who the top players are, and you threw out some names this week that I just had not heard before, certainly was interesting. So let me ask you about, as far as IU, any late word, and Alex can help with this as well, on the graduate students that might be coming in or junior college, or in your opinion, is Archie waiting till after the Romeo announcement?
That could very well be the situation, but those graduate transfers, that market, let's say, has taken on a life of its own. I mean, years ago, it wasn't even allowed. You know, it's like a regular transfer. You had to sit out a year. But it's really amazing, and I learned more from our guest. You know, you can only transfer if the school you're leaving doesn't offer a program that you want to get into, which I guess Indiana, while it has a great business school and has some great parts of its educational components, it maybe doesn't have some different subject areas that it's, you know, pretty common subject areas from what I'm told. So that, I think, hinders Indiana's ability to get some folks that they may like, because there's no legitimate way to make the transfer legitimate, because there's not another area of study that's not offered at the player's current school or former school. So, but yeah, I do think it's possible. I think there's still a handful of names floating out there. There still could be even more. I mean, we're still fairly early into the offseason for college basketball. If you look back at the last couple of years at dates when people announce transfers or when graduate transfers commit and sign, I mean, we're still within a great window here where that could happen. I do think that the Romeo thing has to affect graduate transfers and other transfers perhaps that could be coming into the program, because he would be someone that would dominate a lot of time next year, would have the ball a lot, it's sure assumed next year, and I'm sure that Archie Miller and staff don't want to do a disservice by bringing in another guy that's already been through the college experience and is coming in for 1 year before they go on to, you know, overseas ball or something else, and mix that up with Romeo's talent as well, with what he could bring. So I do think, and Alex has said this, and we'll talk more with him, but there is a little bit of a holding pattern, I think, on things as far as transfers and graduate transfers and Romeo and that sort of thing goes until his decision is made.
Reclassifying is another area, and I know it's not brand new, but it's getting a lot more publicity in recent years than it has before. But reclassifying is a whole new thing that all of a sudden maybe a 2019 player is all of a sudden, and I think there's one right now in the books Kentucky's looking at that's trying to get everything in order by the end of August, thinking about reclassifying for there. So it's something that's added to all of this mystery of recruiting in college basketball.
When I think about reclassifying in high school basketball to get to college sooner, nothing's more crazy to me than Marvin Bagley that played at Duke, and it's probably now headed to the NBA, or I think it's definitely headed to the NBA. You know, he was at the Hall of Fame, or not the Hall of Fame Classic, he was at Newcastle at the ESPN game, the same one New Albany and LaPorte played, and that was in like late January maybe, and, you know, was going to be the top senior in the country in the 2018 class, and was neat to see him play after New Albany against Oak Hill that night on ESPN. And then all of a sudden, late into the offseason, he reclassifies, became a member of the 17 class, and within days was off to college to Duke. And we saw him play at Indiana and in Bloomington earlier this year and have a good performance, and the season he had for Duke and the type of prospectus he has for the NBA. So it's amazing. You know, it used to be people wanted to be held back so they could be bigger and stronger. That was the big deal for a number of years. And it still happens for certain reasons from time to time. But that was the fad. And now it's almost like if you're good enough and if God's blessed you with the body and the things you need to play the game at the highest level, get there as quick as you can. And get that money, I think, as quick as you can is the big angle on it. But, yeah, that, some interesting things that changing in the landscape of basketball and recruiting and college basketball. There's no question about it.
The one for me that has confused me is Hamidou Diallo of Kentucky, who reclassified, came in at semester to Kentucky a year ago, never played, practiced with the team, I understand, did play, but at the end of last year, hadn't played a game in college, but was eligible for the NBA draft and actually went to the combine, I think, and had some input, came back to Kentucky. Now he is going to hire an agent and play. To me, that was one that every week it was like something confusing. You're going to practice, you're not going to play, but you're going out, or you're going to try for the NBA. Okay, I'm confused. Thank you very much.
Hey, there's no question. Some of the things we've already talked about in the one-and-done rule, which could be, it looks like, tweaked in future years. There's changes happening now, and there's probably a lot more to come. Some we'll like, and some I think we won't like. I personally love the opportunity for a guy to be able to check his worth with NBA scouts and agents and get a real read on things, even if he's a guy that's outside of the, like a Juwan Morgan. He's not on any draft board. He's not going to be on any draft board. I would be floored if he got the opportunity to go to the NBA Combine, which is the elite players in the draft for this year. But still, he's going to talk to people that are going to tell him legitimate things. They have no angle in it other than to see him, you know, become the best player he can. And if he's good enough, they'll draft him or try to pick him up through the free agency process. So I personally love that. I think that was a great move. It does leave college coaches lingering a little bit longer on what do you do if Juwan Morgan does decide to leave and not come back, even though I don't think anyone really expecting him to leave. But it does change the job of college coaches, probably leaves them a little bit more on the edge of their seats at a off-season time when normally they're off recruiting and building a roster for the future. You're still trying to do that, but you're looking out of the corner of your eye thinking, am I going to lose somebody that maybe I hadn't thought we would lose at this point? But, yeah, it's crazy, ever-changing world of sports and basketball. It's like everything else. But that's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Don't forget, Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill. It's where hometown fans watch hometown teams play. Hoopsters was voted as best sports bar and best place to watch sports by the News and Tribune Reader's Choice Award. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. And Phil Caldwell, the owner of Hoopsters and a Jeffersonville assistant coach and an all-around good guy, sent me a message last night while you and I were at the New Albany Jeffersonville baseball game that Don Fisher stopped by Hoopsters yesterday, and it was actually a picture of Don next to the Hoopsters marquee that reads something about Romeo Langford, please choose Indiana. So pretty cool to see Fish in Southern Indiana and at Hoopsters last night. I know Phil was happy to see that. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, IU basketball, Romeo, recruiting, and more with Alex Bozich, presented by CC Power Sports, coming your way here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back. A Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly in studio with me, and our chat with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall forthcoming is presented by CC Power Sports with two locations serving Indiana and Kentucky. One is in Clarksville. That's the mothership store, so to speak. They carry Indian, Victory, Slingshot, Polaris, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Honda, KTM, Yamaha, Kawasaki, and Suzuki. The Louisville store is right off of Interstate 65 in southern Jefferson County. They carry Kawasaki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, Yamaha, Suzuki, new riders welcome, and of course racers welcome always at CC Power Sports. Alex, a ton of stuff going on recruiting-wise, getting ready for a couple big weekends where Division I coaches like Archie Miller can be out on the road watching some of these new names beginning to emerge for IU as in targets in the 2019 class.
Yeah, it almost feels a little under the radar that the recruiting periods are going to start because of, I guess, the, I don't want to say cloud, because that is a kind of a negative thing to weigh it. But, you know, just everything is really focused so much on Romeo and what he's going to do that I don't think people are as dialed in this year as they have been maybe in the past on the spring recruiting periods. And I guess that's kind of what the attention that Romeo has brought. But as you mentioned, there's obviously the first recruiting period starts this weekend. I think it's going to be mainly focused down in Dallas, although Adidas will have a regional gauntlet in Indianapolis. But Nike EYBL is down in Dallas this weekend and some other smaller events. I think that will kind of be the hub for this weekend. And then next weekend, the EYBL shifts to Indianapolis. It'll be a good chance, you know, if you're in the area, to go up and see some of the best players in the country competing on the Nike EYBL circuit. So two pretty big weekends coming up. Obviously, I think last year was a little bit more important just based on the fact that it was the coaching staff's first year and kind of getting up to speed, getting kind of a feel who they were going to recruit. But still, two pretty big weekends coming up, and then obviously the end of the month where everyone's attention is really focused is April 30th at New Albany High School.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. So I guess safe to say that Coach Miller and likely a couple assistants at some point this weekend will be down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Nike UIBL is sort of the gold standard at this point for grassroots basketball. Most of the really highly ranked kids are going to play EYBL at some point in high school. I know Romeo was kind of the exception there that he never played on the EYBL circuit. But, you know, Trace Jackson Davis, Keon Brooks, the two of the top 2019 targets, play for Spieth, and several of the other guys that are kind of been offered in recent weeks here. A guy like Trey Mann out of Florida, Jamius Ramsey, another kid. I think it's JVS Ramsey, another kid from plays at IMG Academy, is originally a native of Texas. He's going to be on the EYBL circuit. There's a ton of talent on that circuit altogether. Team Takeover, which is the program that Victor Oladipo came from, they're always a strong program from the East Coast. And so just a lot of different kids will be in on there, and it'll be a great opportunity really next weekend having that at Westfield. That facility is just a perfect venue, because you got all those courts under one roof, and you can kind of go around and see a lot of really high-level games being played. I think sometimes the AAU circuits get a bad rap for, you know, having a lot of blowouts or bad coaching, but in the EYBL, you know, it's the best of the best, and you've got stats being kept, so shooting percentages, things like that are well known, and you've got college coaches there watching, so these guys are going to put their best foot forward. In a lot of ways, it's the best chance for guys to maybe stand out or earn a scholarship offer, some of the under-the-radar guys. It's every spring, somebody kind of comes from under the radar to emerge, and that's one of the cool things about the April evaluation periods. Coaches can get an idea of who's playing well, look at their targets, maybe learn about some new names, and then really focus on guys that maybe they want to offer a scholarship, maybe guys that they want to get on campus for a college visit, and then kind of make evaluations and go from there.
You know, I want to underscore something you said for just a moment, because I think we have a lot of passionate fans in the area. We know we do. And I do encourage them to go up to Indianapolis, number one, to see the Pacers Athletic Center now in Westfield, and to experience seeing the coaches doing their work around the court and some of this big-time talent that we're going to be gearing up to talk about. You know, the names in Indiana are clear in the 2019 class for the most part, but nationally and outside of the area, there's some new names that will be there, and I'm sure more will emerge over the next couple of weeks, both that Indiana is interested in and just good players on a national level. But with that being said, as much of a bad rap as the shoe companies have taken, the Adidas specifically, at least for right now, with this college basketball scandal that's still going on, and I think in the back of everyone's mind about when is the next announcement going to happen, or when is the real punishments going to begin for some of these schools. But with all the negative that's been said, for a guy, and you've been around for a while too, for a guy that's been around this stuff for a long time like I have, the EYBL by Nike, the Adidas Gauntlet by Adidas, the Under Armour circuit, I guess maybe to a little lesser extent, by Under Armour, they, for college coaches, have changed the game and put everything in a much more organized state. Very competitive games. You talked about blowouts that you typically see in some of these summer tournaments and off-season tournaments where you've got teams that aren't even matched up against each other. They've helped eliminate a lot of that. Stats are kept. You know, it's very, very professional. And so for all the negative that we hear about the underhanded business of AAU or of shoe-oriented basketball, I'm sure there's plenty of that to go around that we'll learn more about that's happened and that sort of thing with the investigation. But the shoe companies, and to their own benefit, to identify and get to know these guys for the future as they become professionals, they've done basketball a favor, I think, in that side of it by getting the best players together. Everything's very organized. It's a good setting for coaches to see the best against the best. So that is one positive of the shoe involvement.
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing this now since 2007, which I'm starting to feel old. I've almost been doing this 11 years, but I can remember in the early days when I would go to events, you know, a big thing was the Adidas May Classic in Bloomington. I'm sure you remember that, Matt, sure. Where they would have games at Assembly Hall, and you know, it was always a joke, where, you know, when can we get a running clock? Because you'd have these Indiana elite teams that were playing, you know, obviously all the best players in the state running some of these lesser teams off the court, and it'd be a 40-point blowout, and you'd just be kind of waiting around to talk to kids afterwards. And a lot of times the video you shot wasn't all that good to use because it was, you know, it was basically the equivalent of, like, earlier this season when Romney played Charlestown, Romeo did whatever he wanted against those guys. It was similar to that. And so I think what the EYBL has done, and you know, going back to last year, the Adidas Gauntlet, I was down in Dallas. The first game they had that night, the first April evaluation period, I think maybe the first game that Archie Miller went to evaluate is on the circuit as IU's coach was Zion Williamson's team against Romeo Langford. That's a compelling matchup. That's a matchup you can learn something from because you're seeing – you know, two really good players go head-to-head. You know, the EYBL last year, there was guys like Darius Garland, Bol Bol, Marvin Bagley. All these guys were in the EYBL, and they were going against teams that, you know, in a lot of cases had 4, 5, 6 Division I players on them. That, to me, is a lot more, a lot better, I guess is a better way to say it, to evaluate a kid than watching them, you know, score 50 points against an overmatched team. So, you know, as you mentioned, all the negative press that the shoe companies have got, some of it I feel is justified. Other parts of it maybe not as justified. I think the one thing they have gotten right is these circuits where you're putting things all under one roof. It's more efficient for coaching staff to see guys, and it's a better school to evaluate guys. You know, you're seeing them go you know, against other elite players, and that's a better tool a lot than, in a lot of cases, than watching a guy work out in an empty gym or watch a guy work out at his high school. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, a guy at a high school is far and away the best player on the team. You watch him in an open gym, and he's doing things that maybe he wouldn't be able to do against somebody on the EYBL. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's great for people to go out and, you know, if you have a negative thinking about it going in, I promise you give it a chance and watch it. It's very entertaining, a lot of fun to watch, ultra competitive. That's the other thing. A lot of people think, there's no defense being played in the AU. That couldn't be further from the truth in the EYBL because, they've incentivized the whole thing. These guys want to get the Peach Jam in July, so it's basically the four EYBL sessions are a regular season, and you don't win enough games, you're not going to Peach Jam. So these guys are competitive. They want to play hard in these events, and for the most part, I think that's what happens.
Alex, a lot of people are new to the information you and Matt are discussing this morning. A lot of it has come about the last 4 years because Romeo has been involved in a number of these things. So they're like me. They're new to the circuits, the gauntlet. So these are all new terms for a lot of people, me included.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about the type of format that these events would have and how people can I know your website certainly keeps them up to date. Tell us how people can find out about them, how to get to them, what the ticket prices are. They on TV? Are they streamed? You know, how can they follow? Because I think we have a lot of people now that want to continue to know who the top players around the country are year in and year out.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably have an hour-long show about this stuff, which is maybe we should do sometime this offseason just to kind of get people more familiar. But, you know, for Nike and Adidas, I mean, you can just simply go into Google and go look up Nike EYBL. They have a really well-done website. It'll list all the sessions for the EYBL. I think there's four of them this year. Two of them, the first two are during the live series in April, which is when college coaches can go. And then the two later ones are going to be where coaches can't go, but the public can go, and obviously the media goes to those to still evaluate and talk to kids. Most cases, I think Adidas and Nike makes an effort to stream the event. So if you can't make it out to an event, you can usually watch on your computer. As I said, stats are kept. They post box scores of everything on both of their websites. I know Adidas has a really good website. And basically, it's a league format. So you have different kind of divisions in each league in the EYBL. And, based on record at the end, there's tiebreakers involved and things like that. They'll take a certain number of teams and send them to the Peach Jam and then play a kind of a pool format there. And then it goes to a tournament, which ultimately leads to, the final game of the Peach Jam usually is on ESPNU or ESPN every year. So that's an opportunity for these guys to get in front of a national audience. And Adidas does the same thing where they have these kind of, this year they've changed up a little bit. They're having a regional gauntlet, so they'll have the best, teams from Indiana, the Midwest, playing this weekend in Indianapolis and trying to qualify for the gauntlet finale, which is usually the first evaluation period in July. I think this year they're doing it a little bit different, as they're going to be in New York City for that. But it's very well organized, and I think a lot of that obviously has to do with, the amount of resources that these different shoe companies invest in these kids. They want to give them the most chance that they can to get exposure, and that's what they do kind of with the EYBL and the gauntlet. As Matt mentioned, Under Armour, I think they put up a fight there for a couple of years, but their circuit is just, I think, a tier below. Obviously, to me, the EYBL is the gold standard. Gauntlet's not far behind, and then Under Armour's kind of maybe a little bit falling behind just because they don't have as many good programs, good kids. I mean, you'll get some kids that come through every year that are top-level players that play for an Under Armour team, but I think right now EYBL and Adidas are really the gold standard. But, yeah, just search Adidas Gauntlet on Google, search Nike EYBL. They have websites with a ton more information. That's kind of a high-level overview for both circuits at this point, but definitely something worth following, worth checking out. A ton of video content online from both circuits, and just a chance to kind of measure guys going against other top talent. I mean, that's a little bit, it's better. I love high school basketball. I know you guys do too. I think it's great. I love following it. I love going to the games at the Doghouse. I love going to games around the state. But this is different in the fact that you're getting, in most cases, four or five different Division I players on each team going head-to-head. So it's, in a lot of ways, like a preview for what you're going to see in college.
Lee Kelly, I think Alex has sold me on you and I taking a road trip to to Westfield for the EYBL here in a couple weekends. It will be a lot of fun. Hey, Alex, I want to switch gears before we let you go, because when you talk about recruiting and attracting Romeo Langfords and future top-level players, and I know the goals that Archie Miller has recruiting-wise, you've got to have facilities. And Assembly Hall has undergone some major facelifts while still keeping its historical value of what Freedom Hall is to Indiana basketball and the lore that exists around the program. And yesterday, a big announcement made by Fred Glass, the athletic director, about a gift by the Roberts family that sounds like it's going to completely redo and modernize a great portion of the locker room, and they're going to be a team center, even some improvements for the coaches. And obviously that's really nice for the team to have first-class facilities, and that's why at the end of the day you want it done, for the student-athlete to feel big time and truly be part of a program that's one of the elite in college basketball. But we would be lying if we didn't admit or discuss the recruiting values that some of that has when you bring kids in to see the campus for a game, for Hoosier Hysteria, off-season in the middle of the summer, whatever it may be. Those are big selling points, and Archie Miller, with some other fundraising efforts that have been ongoing in Indiana, I think trying to make the most of some gifts to the university to help improve the basketball program in other areas too.
Yeah, I mean, this is in a lot of ways an arms race. One program gets a state-of-the-art practice facility, and then the next year somebody tops that. Same thing with these locker rooms. Anything that you can do to make your program stand out, you have to do in this environment. I think that's one reason Indiana had to update Assembly Hall or build a new arena, because it was becoming an older building that was losing some of its appeal in terms of being able to recruit to it. I mean, it's one thing to be historic. It's another thing to lack some of the amenities, and the building did. And I think this is just a continuation of that. They obviously have Cook Hall. They have Assembly Hall updated. Now you update the locker rooms to make them, have more of the bells and whistles that kids see on their other visits. And then, you know, 5 or 10 years from now, other schools will do the same thing. And it's just a continuation. There's so much money in this stuff. And there's so much competition to get the best players that anything you can do to make yourself stand out, that's kind of what you do. It's the cost of doing business. And I think IU's done a really great job of doing some fundraising to fund these various projects. And this is really just a logical next step. And I'm sure next offseason it will be something different that they're going to do, whether it be with football, basketball, baseball, a different sport. That's one thing. I think Fred Glass has really done a good job. You just look at some of the new buildings that have been going up in Bloomington. Anytime you're up there, you see new things being built. Obviously, the baseball stadium is really nice. They've done a lot to the football stadium, just adding different amenities to that, different training facilities for various sports. And this is obviously the logical next step for basketball, is to bring the locker rooms to state-of-the-art. And I'm sure for a brief time, Indiana's going to have the best locker rooms in the country, and then another school from a Power 5 conference is going to upgrade theirs. It's just a never-ending process, and if you don't keep up with it, then you're not going to be able to stand out to these elite guys. That's really what this is all about. I mean, you mentioned the recruiting. I mean, that's basically the reason this stuff's done, is to get the five-star level top-tier guys to commit to your program. Anything you can do to make yourself stand out, that's what you got to do.
Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall, presented by CC Power Sports. You can stop into CC Power Sports with locations in Clarksville and southern Jefferson County across the river for parts, vehicle sales, and all servicing needs for street and off-road motorcycles, side-by-sides, ATVs, and personal watercraft. Summer is just around the corner, even though we wouldn't believe it if you knew the weather outside the last couple of days. But you can visit CC Power Sports and let the fun begin. Alex, thank you so much. We're getting closer and closer to the Romeo Langford decision. I know we're going to have some fun conversations about that before, maybe even during and after, and look forward to talking again.
Absolutely. Always good to talk with both of you. Have a good rest of your day.
Absolutely. Alex Bozich, Inside the Hall. Great source this time of year with all the recruiting activities getting ready to heat up. And I'm talking about the evaluation periods that go live this weekend and the following weekend as well. You can find out more at InsideTheHall.com, and you can follow Alex on Twitter at InsideTheHall. Going to head to a commercial break. When we come back, high school baseball, a little about last night's New Albany Jeff game, and we'll also talk with Providence coach Scott Hornung coming up here on the program about his Pioneers, and we'll actually be out at Providence on Monday evening for the Jeffersonville at Providence High School baseball game. Looking forward to that. The 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf cards are hot off the presses. This year's card features Chariot Run, Polo Fields, Woodhaven Country Club, South Park Country Club, Henry County Country Club, Elk Run, Valley View, and Christmas Lake in Santa Claus, Indiana. You can play these great courses for under $20 per round with the 2018 Big X Sports Radio golf card. Some of these courses are private. You're only going to play them if you're a member or if you've got the Big X Sports Radio golf card. There is a limited supply, so get yours today by logging on to BigXSportsRadio.com or call 812-725-1457. We'll head to a break. We're back with Coach Hornung, Providence Baseball, and more here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report, we're hoping to catch up with Scott Hornung, the Providence coach, a little bit later in this segment before we go off the air. But, Lee, we talked some at the start of the show today. New Albany 13, Jeffersonville 10, a big high school baseball game early in the season as the teams are still figuring it out. But I don't think there's any doubt that both New Albany and Jeff have some real weapons and the opportunity that they're probably going to meet again. And the sectional, I think, very likely, at least at the 4A level, could go between those two schools.
Yeah, I think they're both very talented. I think they have all the components. It's still very early, and it's been a most unusual spring. So, that's a problem. The kids are really just getting used to being outside. So I think they're both going to be much, much better come tournament time, whether it be the conference or the sectional, than they are right now as they get in more playing time.
And I think we have Providence coach Scott Hornung with us on the line right now here on the Hoosier Report. Coach, want to look forward to hearing about the Pioneers here as the baseball season underway. And Coach, one of the problems that you don't have at Providence that a lot of these other coaches, I'm sure, are very jealous of, you don't have to worry about that field, especially that turf infield. It can withstand a little bit better than some of the other local fields, some of the spring weather and storms and rain and I guess even snow that we've had here over the last couple weeks.
Well, good morning to you, Matt and Lee. It's good to hear from both of you again this morning. And, our field is a blessing. We're very glad to have it. But quite honestly, this spring, the field hasn't really been a factor because with all of the rain that we've had, it's been actually raining at the time of the game.
Yes.
And so you still can't play when it's raining at the time. So it's been a hardship, not just for the other schools, but for us too this spring.
Scott Hornung, the coach at Providence Baseball, joining us today on the Hoosier Report. Coach, you guys have had some fantastic years here in recent seasons with the Providence Baseball program. And I know you're very excited about this team as well. There's a lot of returning talent. There are some young faces that had good little league and middle school careers that are now an addition to your program. But you guys are off to a 7-1 start. And last night, you, the town championship game, you could say 12-3 winners over Clarksville. And so a good start for your club so far this season.
It has been a good start. We played in two really good tournaments, the Super Prep, which was here in Louisville, and the PBR Midwest Select, which was in Indianapolis last weekend. And we came out of those games with a record of 6-1, and I did not anticipate that happening. I was hoping to win a couple of games, play some good competition, learn from it. But one thing about this team so far this year is we've been very resilient because in 5 of our 7 wins, we've come from behind to win the game. Typically in the 4th or the 5th inning, we've been trailing, and we've somehow put together some good innings late, which I don't want to completely make a habit of, but it's good to know that we can do that.
Coach, you're moving up to 3A this year. You're going to be in that sectional with Silver Creek, and they're having another banner year as well. So anything you're doing differently, any difference in the way of thinking, knowing that you're moving up to that next level?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do is our pitching staff kind of took a blow at the beginning of the year when we lost Reese Davis, because that was one of the arms that we were counting on. Joe Wilkinson is still coming back gradually from his Tommy John surgery that he had and set out last year. So with Graff and Wilkinson being our two main guns, we're trying to really get through the regular season limiting the amount of pitches that they're throwing, just because we want fresh arms, you know, more towards the end of the year. And as far as doing anything else different, we're still playing the same kind of really good schedule that we normally do. We have added, you know, a couple of good teams. Like tomorrow we're playing Avon, and we're playing in those tournaments. And the competition will be stiffer, and we understand that.
Talking with Providence baseball coach Scott Hornung here on a Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Timmy Borden, obviously a Louisville commit, someone that has been recognized as a big-time prospect in Southern Indiana baseball for a number of years now. There's been a great pipeline between Southern Indiana high schools and Louisville, and I know that there's a lot of thought Timmy could go on to have a great career there at the college level as well. How is his season going so far?
Well, he's a great leader. He's been doing a great job mentoring the younger players, which I'm really proud of him for. Like most of our hitters right now, he's actually struggling a little bit. The repetitions, the weather, just getting some more rhythm going. We're not exactly all working on all cylinders right now, and Timmy's feeling the same thing. He's showing, you know, his flashes of brilliance that he has, but he's also struggling like all hitters can do at all levels. But as the weather warms up, I anticipate that his bat will do the same.
Coach, we mentioned about 3A, and even though you did move up in class, you're still getting that respect. You're the number nine team in 3A, and so people understand what a great program you have, put it together year in and year out, and so you've got to be happy with the way that other coaches around the state, your peers, are looking at your program and giving that check mark of being a solid program.
It is a compliment to us. Most teams that do get ranked, I think by the coaches poll, in my opinion, really get ranked on their reputation, because it's really difficult for all of these coaches that are on these committees to see these teams play. They really don't know how one team stacks up against another, because there's no way they can watch all these teams' games. So they're basically looking at the record and then, you know, their history, their reputation. And when you look at our area right now, you know, we've got several teams in various classes that are in the top 10, which shows that we do play some pretty good baseball down here.
Coach Hornung of Providence, my guest. Coach, Jeffersonville Monday, we're looking forward to being out at your facility to broadcast the game. That's always, I think, one of those dates you can circle on the calendar for your program, for Jeff's program as well, to kind of gauge where things are at. It's a great matchup of rivals here in the area, and I'm sure at this point of the season, after you guys have been kind of traversing the area, playing some different competition, to come back at home and play another one of the area's best teams year in and year out is a real gauge for you and your coaching staff.
Yeah, well, the next 2 weeks is going to be a real gauge, not only with competition, but with rivalry games, because starting, you know, tomorrow, we're playing a top 24A team in Avon. And then we follow that up with Jeff on Monday, and then Floyd Central a week from tomorrow. And then that following week, we have Silver Creek and New Albany. So
wow.
Over the next 2 weeks, pretty much going to play all the good teams in the area.
Wow. That's quite a schedule coming up here over the next couple of weeks. Coach, some big games forthcoming, as you said. A new look at the sectional for you guys moving up to 3A this year. The great facility, I can't rave enough. I wish we could get out there for more games. Great press facilities. Great field, as we've already discussed. So a lot of real positive things going on for your program. Hard to believe you're just a couple seasons removed from a state championship as well. So life, it sounds, continues to be good at Providence for the baseball program.
It is, and that thanks goes out to all the great players that are putting in their time and coming up and working hard to, you know, continue to make our program a good one and one that's well thought of.
Scott Hornung, head baseball coach at Providence. Coach, it's always great to chat. Look forward to seeing you before your game on Monday. We'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X.
I appreciate it, fellows. And why don't you bring some warm weather?
We will try. We will try, Coach. Thank you very much.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Don't forget, every Thursday, Lee and I have some high school baseball guests. We are starting with the area coaches. So we've had on Chris McIntyre of New Albany, Derek Ellis of Jeffersonville. You just heard Scott Hornung of Providence. Have on some other area coaches here over the next couple of weeks. And then we're going to have some players on. We're going to talk to Timmy Borden and some of the better players in the area. Ryan Robinson, who's had a great start to his season, his senior year at New Albany. So always fun. Baseball's really good in Southern Indiana. And we talk about Josh Rogers and Drew Ellis and some of those guys, and that kind of underscores the type of players that have come out of our area in recent years.
Yeah, it's great baseball, even though the weather's been iffy, but these players are beginning to step up, have great seasons, and it's going to be a lot of fun from here on out, like it always is.
Absolutely. Lee, thanks for being with me. We've got more stuff coming your way Friday. We'll be back at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report. And then some big announcements coming early next week about Romeo Langford and our coverage of that event here on the Big X. We'll have more for that coming up next week. Thanks for being with us today. Have a great day. Be back tomorrow on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.